Me. We're going to finish up probably next Wednesday night. We'll finish next Wednesday. We'll do Sunday, do our schedule we've been doing, and then we'll finish up next Wednesday and go back to our Sunday regular schedule the following Sunday. So, tonight we want to look at this idea of serving for the Lord's glory. It's an interesting thing. I had this little thing, of course, as usual, I got all mixed up when I was preaching what, and I put this little thing in the bulletin for Sunday, thinking I was getting ready to do this lesson on Sunday morning, and then I realized, wait a minute, I'm doing it tonight. But anyway, one of the things that we as Christians seem to get this idea about is that a servant gets to pick his own job. You know, we get this idea, well, you know, God, if I don't want to go do what you want me to do, I don't have to. Or if it's inconvenient for me, I don't have to do that. Or, you know, whatever it may be. And look, a servant does not choose his or her job. God gives them, or whoever their master is, gives them the job. And the jobs that you refuse to do as a Christian says a lot about who your master is. You know, if God continuously tries to get you to do something and you say no, or put it off, or, you know, I can't do it, or it's inconvenient, or whatever, then you're saying you're not really my master. And so we want to think about this as we think about this little section here. We need to understand this. You can write this down. Jesus is returning soon. And understand this, folks. This idea that we sometimes get of heaven and the new heaven and the new earth as being some sort of glorified what it is now is ridiculous. When Jesus returns, that is going to end the world as we know it. Hallelujah. You know, I was watching the president do the State of the Union address last night. I don't know if y'all watched that. I probably wouldn't have, but my wife wanted to, so I sat there. I like to sit by her, so it made it a little more palatable. But I was watching that and thinking, you know, I'm ready for this world to move on out of here, you know. Just the attitudes that were expressed, not necessarily by him, but by others. And it's true, because when he returns, when Jesus returns, it will end the world as we know it. And this fact should make us very, very serious about doing the work of the Lord. So let's look in 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 7. And we'll read down to verse 11. He says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. And whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, as we read your word here and we think about our service to you, Lord, help us to realize that that should be our constant prayer. Our constant prayer. Glorify God through Jesus Christ, who belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Help us to remember that. He deserves all the glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, let's just kind of go down through here about verse by verse. The first verse in verse 7 talks about being serious and watchful. It says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment, serious, and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. It literally is talking here about being clear-minded and ready for action. That word, action. Be ready to move. Be realistic. I have often heard people talk about Christians as being unrealistic for this world. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. If you know someone and they are living for the next 30 seconds of their life and not giving any thought for beyond that 30 seconds, would you think that they were being realistic? No. Folks, we as Christians live for eternity. We don't live for this life because this life is much shorter than 30 seconds when we're talking about eternity. And those folks who give no thought for eternity, they are the unrealistic people. They are the ones that are not prepared. They are the ones that are burying their heads in the sand. They are the ones that are not prepared. A Christian who works for eternity is the one who is very realistic. And we need to understand that. And that's what this is talking about here. Being clear-minded, ready for action, realistic. And then it talks about being watchful in prayer. Clear-headed in prayer. That means, you know, when you're awake and on watch, that means you are alert. And you know what's going on around you. It's a picture of a guard that's on guard duty at night. The best kind of guard is the guard that's awake. Obviously, if you're not awake, you're not a very good guard. And so the best guard is not one that's just awake, one that's clear-headed and alert and looking around for what's going on around him or her, and it says in prayer. And so we want to be very clear about what we pray for. Sometimes we pray for the wrong things because we don't think about them, you know. And we need to, and thank goodness the Holy Spirit intervenes if we're sincere and honest and makes our prayers right. But it's an important thing for us to think. Okay, God, how do you want me to pray? And seek God's will. We pray for His will. Well, when we're praying, let's seek for it as we're praying. Because Jesus' return is motivation. You know, His return, knowing that His return could be any moment, gives us motivation. If you knew Jesus was going to come back in the next hour, you would be motivated to live that hour in the best you could. If you knew He was coming back next week, you would live this week the best you ever lived, wouldn't you? Everyone in here would, because you would be looking forward to His coming. But sometimes we just kind of lose sight of the fact that He is indeed coming back because we're so busy running around doing worldly things. And when I say worldly things, I'm not necessarily talking about evil things. I'm just saying we're running around doing things. And they're not necessarily bad things. You should run around. You should go to your kids' ball games. You should, enjoy yourselves and enjoy this life. You should eat. You should go on picnics. You should have. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we are totally concentrating on these temporary things to the exclusion of the real fact that we live for eternity, we're being unrealistic. And I think that's what he's talking about. And then in verse 8, he talks about fervent love. Did you see that? Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now,
fervent gives the idea of being stretched to the limit. You stretch yourself as wide and as tight and as openly as you can in your love for other people. You know, it's hard sometimes to love people. You know, I was working on my devotions today, and I got started off on Cousin Henry. You know, I've shared about Cousin Henry with y'all before. And Cousin Henry, and I love Cousin Henry, but he was a hard guy to love because he always wanted to fuss. He just always wanted to fuss. And with me, he always wanted me to either, depending on the situation, he was either attacking John Calvin or defending John Calvin. And, of course, he grew up Presbyterian, and he knew all about John Calvin more than I did. And he would get, you know, just depending on the situation. And it was just really a stretch when we went to see him, you know. And folks, but that's what we're called to do. There are times that there are people that are just unlovable. Some people are very lovable. And you people, y'all are all so lovable. It's no problem loving you guys. But some people are just not very lovable. But that's what this fervent means. It means stretch your love for one another and let it grow. You know what? When you're working out and you're building up muscles, I understand that what's happening is those muscles are being stretched and broken and rehealing stronger, and that's what this is talking about. You're developing yourself, developing. If you go back to 1 Peter 1:22, it's an interesting verse. He says, "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart." Okay? This is love. You can write that down, love. That openly reaches out and goes the whole distance. It is what makes us light in a dark world, you know. When we can love the unlovable, we are lights. When we can love the people who don't love us and treat us badly, we are lights. And that's what that fervent love is talking about. And this is especially true as the end of time draws near. And it is not, and it's especially, you can write this down, shown by our not dwelling on people's past sins and being quick to forgive people. That's what, did you notice that in, let's see, we're in verse 8, where it says, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's what that's talking about. Being quick to forgive people when they sin against you. Because your love is stretched wide enough for you to be able to do that. And it's shown also by not holding a person's faults against them. You know, talking to Joseph, Joy's a little boyfriend that's getting ready to deploy, you know, and he was talking when he was over here. Oh, I think over at AIT or somewhere like that. I'm not sure. No, it wasn't. It was in his group. He's in this now. One of the guys is a homosexual. And you know, Joseph, you know, makes no bones about the fact that he's a Christian and all. And this guy that he's, you know, talking to says, you know, well, does that mean that if I'm wounded or something like that, you're not going to help me? And Joseph said, of course it doesn't mean that. You're an American soldier. If you get wounded, I'm going to do my best to get you out of there. Whether I agree with you and what you believe about homosexuality or what, you know, that's, you know, your love has to stretch because that's the way you're a light. And the guy knows he doesn't agree with him. And that's why he's questioning, well, wait a minute, does that mean you're going to take up for me? Are you going to, you're just going to let me get fragged or blown away or something? Are you going to shoot me in the back if you have opportunity? And that's an opportunity to be a light. And folks, sometimes people do things we don't like and we don't agree with. But we just have to love the unlovable anyway. And that's when we're really and truly lights. Proverbs 10:12 says, love overlooks the wrongs that other people do. And then verse 9 talks about being hospitable. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Now, this was important. If you're writing this down, importance, the blank, in the ancient world. And here's why. There were very few hotels. And you know, I keep telling you, these people were being persecuted and their homes were gone and they were on the run. Most of Christianity during this era were on the road. They didn't have homes. They were on the road. They were being basically rounded up by the Romans' troops and taken, sent to Rome to be slaughtered. And so it was very important that their fellow Christians who did have homes were hospitable, okay? In other words, they would take people in to their homes. But it could be dangerous. You know, it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous to take a complete stranger into your home. It was back then. It could still be that way today. It could be dangerous to do that. 3:2 says a leader must be hospitable. Titus 1:8, he must welcome people. Hebrews 13:2, very familiar. Be ready with a meal or a bed when it's needed. Why, some have extended hospitalities to angels without ever even knowing it. We should, as Christians, display real, practical love in our everyday life. And we should do it for others, even when, write this down, it's inconvenient for us. I had, when I was a youth minister, you know, I was single, and I lived in the parsonage there in town. Pat Brzezik had his own house, and so they let me live there in the parsonage. And often, I don't know how many times, people would come through needing a place to stay, and I just let them stay with me. And it just infuriated some of my church people because they said, "You're gonna wake up dead someday," and all that. And I said, "Well, I'll be in heaven." You know, I mean, really, you know, and everything. But the truth is, there were a few times it was kind of uneasy, you know. But it was also a few times that people didn't want to stay with me. They just wanted money, you know. But the thing is, be open to helping people no matter what it takes to do, because it's not always going to be convenient. And then in verse 10, it talks about don't be idle. As each has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It is tempting, because what is he talking about? What does he start off talking about here? The end of all things are at hand. So he's saying, all right, the end is coming very quickly. So it was very tempting for some people to sit, because, well, the end's coming. It could be tomorrow, Lovey. Jesus could come back. When I was in high school a lot, I wanted to do that. I'd say, yes, Lord, you're coming tomorrow, so I don't need to study for that test. You know, of faith, my daughter's always like that. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, I hear say, she'll be studying and trying to learn something. Just goes right over her head, you know, can't get it. And she'll just, oh, Lord Jesus, just come. I just hear her praying that constantly. And I can relate to it
because I prayed that prayer many times myself. She doesn't ever believe me, but I did. She just does not believe it. I told her, I said, sometime when we're up there at the school, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get Miss Joanne to pull out my high school grades and show you, because yours were so much better than mine at work, you know. And she doesn't believe me, but they really are. I got out with D's, you know. Anyway. It's tempting to sit around and wait for the Lord's return, but God's given us gifts to be used in His service, so we need to use those gifts. And there's a word here, if you'll notice in verse 10, manifold. Okay? Manifold. Manifold is a word that means many colors. That's kind of neat. What a weird word to be in there. Many-colored grace of God. It's kind of like a rainbow, okay? Rainbows are real pretty, right? They've got all these different colors, and they just fit together, and they look so pretty, and they're right there together. And that's a rainbow is a beautiful promise and gift from God, and that's what this is a picture of. When the church uses the gifts that God has given as a body, like a rainbow, it's a beautiful thing. I think that's a great illustration. It kind of breaks down in the translation, though, so they just left that word manifold in there. But that's what it's talking about. It's a beautiful thing when you got all those beautiful colors that work together. And then the last verse talks about these spiritual gifts. Verse 11, it says, whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are about 20 spiritual gifts listed. I want to talk about this a little bit because there's all kinds of ideas about these spiritual gifts and what exactly all that's about. And I just want to kind of read over a couple of passages. One of them is in Romans 12, 6, 7, and 8. I want to turn it over. I have it written here, but I don't like what I have written down here, so I'm going to go in my Bible here. So if you would, you might want to look there. Romans chapter 12. 6, 7, and 8. It says this, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly, if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving. Or he that teaches in his teaching, or he that exhorts in his exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Okay? Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues and interpretation, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? Okay, so we see that there's all kinds of things. And in Ephesians 4:11, it says, he filled the earth with his gifts, and he handed out gifts as the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher, things like that. Okay.
If you noticed anything, none of those lists were exactly the same. Okay? And you know, I used to do this class on gifts, and, you know, we did the spiritual gift test and da-da-da-da-da. The problem with it is that, you know, none of the lists are the same. And that means I believe that there's no comprehensive list. Okay? I believe that any gift that the Holy Spirit gives you is a gift of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives it to you. Now, sometimes, you know, I heard about this church having a revival down in Florida, and these guys were sitting off over in the corner, Bobby, and all they did was laugh. They had the gift of laughing. So the preacher's up here preaching, and there's these four or five guys over here laughing at the top of their whatever. I don't really know, because it was more distracting. The person that went, this lady in my church went, and she said it was just totally distracting because they're over here, you know, laughing the whole time, you know. And I told her, well, I've had that happen to me quite a bit, you know, myself. You know, it's my, people laugh at me a lot, you know, Tony, I don't know. But I don't think that's a spiritual gift. I just think I look funny. But I guess the thing is, guys, that the spiritual gifts, all of the lists that are given and everything there, they basically are going to fall into two categories: speaking gifts and serving gifts. Okay? Some people are very gifted in communication and sharing the gospel and teaching the word and, you know, whatever. And some people are much better at serving. And to be honest with you, when you look at it and you break down this idea of the pastor and the deacon, that's more or less kind of how that breaks down. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't pastors that you're supposed to serve. That's what the name means. But the pastor, more than likely, leans toward the speaking gifts, or he should, you know, obviously, because he preaches and teaches. On the other hand, the deacons lean more on the serving gifts. That doesn't mean that deacons can't preach or teach or whatever. Obviously, there's no right, just set thing. But there, you know, that's kind of the way those gifts are. And you really get into trouble if you just start trying to say, okay, I've got this gift. Here's what I used to do, Patrick. I'd say, I've got this gift, because I took that test and I knew what my gifts were, so I didn't want to do anything else. You know, I knew what my gifts were, Lovey. I took that test and I knew what it was, so I just didn't do anything else. But the point is, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. My gift may not be, getting up in front of thousands of people. Or your gift may not be, Bobby, but if you get a chance to go up and be up and share the gospel in front of several thousand people and they give you that opportunity, do it. You know? Because it's not what I say or do or anything anyway. If God's using it, He does it through me. And it's the same way with anything we do. If you're the man there, or you're the woman there, you do it. You don't pick what you want to do. And God convicted me of that, and that's kind of why I kind of got off. Becky says I got off too far the other way now. But, you know, regardless, when these gifts, any of them, are used for God's glory, I believe it's just like sweet music to Him. I believe He is honored, and I believe that the church is used and Jesus is glorified. And what it all boils down to is this: the fact that as Christians, we are used to work together serving God and each other until the Lord returns. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to serve God and serve each other until He returns. Here's two things. Write this down. His return is our motivation. Okay? His gifts are our methods. Okay? We are motivated to serve Him because He's coming back. and the way we serve Him are the spiritual gifts or being obedient to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to give us instructions, and we need to listen and do it, you know. So anyway, we've got the prayer list here. We'll go ahead and do that. I hear those young'uns leaving. We got to get out there before they do something evil. Just kidding. They're not going to do anything evil. I'm just, yeah. Well, we got Tommy Leonard and family on the new one. This is just the Sunday morning one. So we got Jack Sherrill. Okay, I don't know where we got Jacob there. Okay, thank you for fixing that. Peggy Cockrell, you want to explain about that? Eddie Bingham, wife passed away. Okay. I can imagine. I can imagine. Well, guys, I got a lot of sickness going around. A lot of people, a lot of kids sick at the school. A lot of, you know, just a lot of that going around, and it's not good. A lot of people. You know, we haven't had any, like, deaths around here, but that's just the grace of God, you know. We need to keep praying, you know. And I know Kate's very sick, and she's got pneumonia and all, so let's certainly remember her. And Lou and Brandy, let's don't forget them. Well, let's do go to the Lord in prayer then. Father, as we come to this point of prayer, Lord, we know that we are your servants and your call upon us, Lord, to use our gifts because you're coming and you're coming back soon. And Lord, help us to be hospitable. Help us to be loving. Help us to be your servants.